It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along on this Saturday morning. A big kids turkey season.
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of stories to tell about last week with the kids out there and getting them on the ute hunts.
Yep.
And folks out hunting today. And I got to tell you, I mean, be frank with you, not to pull wool over anybody's eyes, this is pre-recorded because all three people that will be talking in this segment currently are sitting in the woods turkey hunting. Because
guaranteed, whether it's raining or not,
right?
We will be there.
It would be beyond the scope of believability if I tried to tell you that Mike Ward was sitting here live on Saturday morning at the start of turkey season.
Sean Sullivan
was sitting here, or
the director of
Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes. He wouldn't be sitting here either. So yes, this is advanced recorded, but welcome. Hey, Chuck.
Good morning. Yeah, I appreciate y'all letting me record this earlier because no, I would not be sitting there with you Saturday.
That's right. We know how it is. But I want to get into talking about the fun part of this and talking some turkey stories with you in a second. But I do got to ask this question. It just came off a week here of reporting about the reaction at a state level and local level here to coronavirus crisis and the closures. We talked about closures for business and different things down here. And then I know Governor Ivey talking about what's going on with state government. So what's going on with you and your department there with Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries? Are y'all working? Are the WMAs open? Are the SOAs open? What's going on?
Look, as with most things, we're ahead of the curve. We've been practicing social distancing for decades. You know, my folks work outside typically by themselves. So I want hunters to understand they will encounter game warden. They will encounter biologists because this was not a three-week vacation for our staff. Pretty much it's business as usual, other than all the district offices and the Montgomery office are closed to public traffic, and we've just got a skeleton crew in there answering emails, answering phone calls, getting them directed to the people they need to. The rest of our staff is out in the field just like they are every day.
Yeah, most of y'all have your remote office green trucks where that's where you work. That's where the work gets done, you know, normally.
That's right. I mean, I'm going into the office 2 or 3 days a week for a few hours and checking on everything, but I can do everything that I need to do from my laptop computer and my phone other than sign some papers. So, look, it's an inconvenience. The public still has access to everything we do by either going to OutdoorAlabama.com or either picking up the phone and calling the Montgomery office. So we're still working, and we want hunters and fishermen to really heed the doctor's warnings and take some social distancing and get out in the woods or get on the water. It's the perfect time of the year for it.
It is, and it's funny. In all the interviews we've done this week and talking to different folks, they're talking about people need to be stuck in their home, stay in your homes, or do this and that. And I keep asking. So the doctors said nothing. The outdoors don't have the coronavirus, it's other people. So to me, you know, you want to do this is absolutely a safe pursuit. You know, if you're going in the woods and, you know, chasing a turkey or going on the water to catch a white perch or a bass, it seems about perfect to me.
Absolutely. The only thing is it has really, I'm about sick of this virus. It has severely hampered a lot of my hunting trips over the past couple of weeks. I mean, we had to cancel Our governor's one-shot turkey hunt next week. I was supposed to go on to Mississippi and hunted for a couple of days with some friends. It got canceled, and the Tennessee governor's turkey hunt was the first week of April. It's already been canceled. I mean, we've got national meetings that we've been planning for a year and a half into May that have already been canceled.
Man.
So it's a pain.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, too. I'll get back to the hunting side of it, but I know that y'all have, you know, as wildlife biologists and people with state departments, you go to different, you know, the Southeastern Deer Group, there's a turkey one, there's a lot of different species have these conferences where y'all all meet up and share information.
Yeah, and I had four meetings the first 2 weeks of May, and all four of them, well, I take that back. Three of the four have been canceled. The only one that hadn't been canceled is the Southeastern Directors meeting, and I'm the president, and I hadn't canceled it yet. Everything else has been canceled.
You hadn't canceled it yet?
As of yet.
Yeah. I mean, it depends, I guess, too, how many people in that group. I mean, if there's going to be a...
It's 13 state directors, but there will be 40 or 50 people that come and give us reports. But,
yeah,
you know, if each state, you know, we're on a travel ban right now for state business. And if things don't loosen up over the next couple of weeks, I'll be forced to cancel it. I'm just not going to cancel it until I have to.
Yeah, you're like so many of us, just sit and watch and hopefully things get better sooner than later. But it's good news. I want everybody to know this. Once again, the woods are open. Public land in Alabama open for us to hunt. Public water open for us to fish. Get out and enjoy.
That's right. The WMAs are open. SOA hunts are still on schedule. If anybody sees something crazy on Facebook, you and I and Mike have talked about this before. Facebook is the devil in most cases.
Yep.
But I talked to the Missouri director yesterday and the Arkansas director yesterday, and there's hoaxes going around both of their states that for Arkansas it was no non-resident hunting licenses are being sold to keep people out of Arkansas, which is complete bogus. And then in Missouri, somebody posted like a letter from the governor's office saying hunting season will be shut down until further notice. You know, folks, have some common sense, and if you think something's up, call somebody. The reason I found out about Arkansas is I had a guy call me and say, look, I've got five guys coming from Arkansas to hunt this weekend. Can they get a non-resident license? I said, absolutely. Why do you ask? He said, well, they said Arkansas shut down. Non-residents can't go hunt there. So I called the director, and he said, yes, we are fighting that right now.
Isn't that wild what people put on Facebook and social media?
But you know what that is? I mean, I'm not trying to be overstating, but that's a little bit of economic terrorism right there. The person who does that, they may think they're being funny, but what it means for people to go hunt and go to these communities and spend money is a big, big deal.
Yep. But yeah. My point more than that is, why did the people from Arkansas call Alabama and complain?
Yeah, I don't
rather
know.
Rather than calling their own agent,
yeah, I don't know.
Saying,
that.
Is this true?
I got nothing for you there. I don't know. I do not know. I mean, we are living in a time, you know, maybe 20 years ago, it's one thing. Today, we can find out. You can go to OutdoorAlabama.com and figure out any the questions, the stuff that people say, I used to hear so-and-so said. So, you can find out what the truth is very easily these days.
Yep, almost instantaneously.
Oh, the good news is turkeys are gobbling, Chuck.
So I've heard.
You have not been out. Tell me, have you been?
I did. I went last Sunday with a friend and his son, and it was extremely humid and foggy, and we heard two turkeys gobble two times, and they were, you know, we were in Macon County, and they could have been in Marengo County, but I did hear two turkeys gobble, and we actually called up a couple of hens. I thought I knew where one of the turkeys were, but his son was more interested in sleeping and snoring than he was turkey hunting, but we didn't stay there too long.
You know, you mentioned the humidity thing. You talk about things that we all, you know, thought about, known, I guess, as turkey hunters. But I did see, I think it's Wild Turkey Report or somebody the other day put up, I got to go back and find the actual study. They did study barometric pressure, humidity on turkey gobbling, and just confirmed what we all thought. But they actually did some science on this, Chuck.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I mean, we all do our own science with it. If the humidity is above about 75% and the barometric pressure is below 30, they ain't going to gobble good.
I wonder what goes on in their pea brains. Although, yeah, let me point out, they're pea brain birds that have whipped my butt, you know, on triple-digit columns in times in my life. But what clicks in their heads is like, this morning I am not gobbling.
I you know, you walk outside getting ready to go, and it feels sticky, and things are flat, and it's like he feels the same thing, I guess. You get a good crisp morning, the stars are out, you feel good to be out there, I guess he feels good to gobble.
You know, Chuck, but I've been out on those pretty mornings, and it's just amazing that you just think the wood's going to light up gobbling the perfect day and not gobble, not hear a thing. And then I'll go the next day in exact same conditions and hear 8 or 10 or 12. Now, I don't understand that, and I can understand if the humidity was higher or whatever, but I'm talking about perfect conditions, you know, in the 40s degrees, perfect, no wind, just everything, and not hear nothing. Go back the next day, same spot, and they just gobbling their heads off. I don't understand it.
Unless they partied too late and hung over and just don't feel like it, I don't know.
I don't know either. But that's why we chase them, Chuck.
That's right.
We're gonna figure them out one day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. You know, I want to say this is completely anecdotal, but, you know, last time we were on talking with you about turkeys and talking about the change in date, about giving opportunity for more hens to get bred. This last week it was Tuesday afternoon, and I was sitting there about 6:30 in the evening watching a pasture full of turkeys and watched two breed hens. So there's two.
I think we're perfect this year.
Yeah, I got to watch that, and I said, you know, quite possibly, because on the youth hunt we killed one of the gobblers in that area. My buddy's boy did, and I figured, you know, if the whole lot of us had been there, we might have killed all those birds the way they'd been gobbling if all the guys had been hunting. So you know, I watched that, and I said, well, good. So I know that, and I don't know if it took, but I know that I felt like I had to cover my eyes. The deed was done there on that. So there's more breeding.
Well, so you got in the woods. I know Mike did. I saw his pictures posted all over Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It means it's a dang lie.
Had a great hunt, too, Chuck. It was just awesome.
Good. I'm proud for you.
And we wasn't even going to go. I mean, my grandson had a soccer game Saturday at 12 o'clock, and then had a wedding that we had to go to Saturday night, and then Sunday morning he had something he wanted to, you know, at church he wanted to do. So we wasn't even going to go, and then – you know, they canceled the soccer game. Then we on the way to the wedding, and then found out they canceled church. And I said, "Well, what do you want to do now, boy?" So we took off up the country.
That's why we went Sunday morning, canceled church.
Yeah, how about that? You know, so
might have been a lot of kids get to kill a lot of gobblers, courtesy of the coronavirus.
Yeah. So anyway, it all worked out just right, and had an awesome hunt.
All right, I wonder why. Just circle back around too. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Chuck Sykes with Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama. And no matter what you read anywhere, WMAs are open and the SOA hunts are on. Which, by the way, can we take a second here? I hadn't talked about it in a while. I'm a participant, been on the SOA hunt, one of the SOA hunts in the state for turkey, and it was a fantastic experience. If people are thinking about down the road SOA hunts for deer hunting and then talk about turkeys for next year, talk about that process. How does somebody get in on this?
Well, we'll start the registration process probably in June for the deer hunts and hunts in the fall, dove and things like that. People just need to go on outdooralabama.com, search SOA, and it'll give you all of the particulars on what hunts you can apply for and where.
And tell folks that don't know about that, what's different from a SOA hunt from showing up at our local WMA?
I tell you what, why don't you tell them? You tell it better than I do.
and you correct me where if I step out of line on this, but what I've told everybody is imagine being able to hunt the best piece of ground and have a whole section of that best piece of ground to yourself, manage for whitetail quality, turkey hunting quality, and I know you have doves and others, but I'm just thinking on deer and turkey. Fantastic ground, fantastic management, and having a whole section of the place to yourself. You're on public land, but you get an experience you wouldn't even get in a hunting club, you know, because you get a huge section.
And the section is generally how big?
Right? How big? Like, I hunted Cedar Creek. I'll tell everybody where I hunted. I hunted Cedar Creek. How big was that? Those sections generally?
They average 300 to 500 acres.
By yourself,
yeah.
By yourself, or you can bring a friend with you. And on the turkey side, that place was loaded up with turkeys. I know there's others that have a bunch of turkeys. That's when I have a firsthand experience. But I also saw when I was at Cedar Creek some of the deer guys had killed there, some real great bucks coming off that one.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's Dallas County. We've got a really good one over in Russell County as well, Uchi Creek. And you just go online, you apply. If you get selected for a deer hunt, you and a friend get 300 to 500 acres to hunt for the duration of that hunt by yourself. During turkey season, you and a friend get two of those units put together, so it may be anywhere from 600 to 1,000 acres that you get for the, and we rotate those units around so they're not over hunted. The guys or gals that get the hunt, the last hunt, get the same quality of hunt that the folks that hunted the first one do. So it's managed like a high end hunting club or hunting lodge.
For sure. I mean, and it, I know it's nothing for Mike because he hunts at Turkey Valhalla, but it was the most birds I'd heard gobbling in the morning in a decade when I hunted Cedar Creek. Yeah. The most I'd heard in a decade up there. And it was just packed with turkeys. And obviously, I know the deer hunting's good, but I can tell you firsthand, turkeys are packed.
I know when you came back, you were excited about it. You couldn't tell me enough about it.
Great stuff. And also, on the deer hunting front, too, you got opportunities for kids as well. And I'm going to get up there, hopefully get drawn one day to go up to North Alabama. Y'all got duck hunting SOA-wise, too.
We do. Up in North Alabama, up in Jackson County, we've got Crow Creek that you and three buddies can draw a unit to duck hunt for a couple of days. And I think we had some really good success last year. That piece of property's got a lot of black ducks on it, so we had quite a few people kill some black ducks last year, which was a unique experience.
But that's, you know, I've never killed that puddler. It's on my list, and I look at the pictures they post up from Crow Creek. I'm like, dang it, look at there. They got mallards and a black duck, and this next group's got a, you know, a black duck. I mean, yeah, that's definitely on my to-do list. All right, well, we'll do this. We'll circle back around here after a couple weeks of turkey season, get some war stories from the turkey woods.
I hope so. I hope the virus doesn't shut everybody down.
No, I'm gonna stay quarantined. I'm gonna tell the missus and folks here at the station, say for the sake of everybody, for the benefit of everybody's health, I'm just gonna stay in the woods.
Well, I'm gonna do my best to hit it as hard as I can for the next couple of weeks as well.
Good deal. Chuck, as always, we appreciate you joining us and bringing some real information here. Not the Facebook information, the real information. So thank you.
No problem. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, good luck to you as well.
Thank you.
All right. So we're coming right back. But Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes, one of our friends, just a great guy doing great work there for the state. All right. Coming back, we'll tell a little bit about Mike's turkey story. I'll talk about the kids killing turkeys on our place this weekend. And we'll talk about the fishing, too. Trout fishing's turned on.
Yep.
That's what Captain Bobby says. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Big thank you to Chuck Sykes joining us. Talk about a couple things here. But number one, in a serious note, as all the conversation goes on for quarantining and social distancing, one of the great places you can do that is in the woods and water here in Alabama.
I'll do the most of it I can, Sean.
Yep. That's right, for the good of the people. For the good of the people. But a serious front, so, you know, what the quarantining is, you stay with your family, right? You stay, those people, well, you can get on the boat with the family.
Yep.
Not interact, you know, with other folks. You can have a great time in the outdoors. Because there's a lot of people who say, yeah, they're quarantined at their home. They think inside. It's other human, there's nothing wrong with the outside. There's nothing, it's staying away from the, and so, absolutely heading to the woods is a great idea.
Heading to the woods, heading to the water, doesn't make any difference.
That's for sure.
But I just want to say how great Chuck is. I mean, that's one, you know, one thing about Chuck Sykes, he's one of us.
Yep.
I mean, he's no different than me and you. I mean, he's just down to earth as you could possibly
be. Not as good looking, maybe, but,
well,
you know.
Well, duh. Yeah, but as far as having a director, we couldn't ask for a better director.
The best.
Chuck. Look at the things he's changed to improve our hunting and our fishing in this state. It's unbelievable.
And he's not, side note here, I mean, he's not, and getting to know him over the years, he's not, sometimes you'll find people that are in, whether they're running state agencies or even with some of the big, conservation groups out there and, you know, 501c3s, the people know hunting, they've been hunting, but they're kind of, fancy boots, wax cloth kind of hunters. They've gone on some hunts.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I mean, they would hunt or they'd go play golf or do something. Chuck's like those of us, like you and I. I mean, he's dirt under the fingernails, you know, right. Hardcore.
Maybe like, more so than...
More so than us. Yeah. Even more so than us. Yeah. And, you know, somebody who, there's no question, if he's not at work on a Saturday or Sunday, he's in the woods. I mean, he's like, there's not like, right. Well, maybe he'll go on the hunt or something like that. It doesn't exist. He's just hardcore.
He's there. You know, Charles Kelly, mm-hmm. which was the director for years and years and years, under his direction, Sean, nothing changed.
Nope.
Nothing changed. He didn't try anything new. He didn't check anything out. One thing about Chuck Sykes is he's willing to try something. You know, let's try this.
Yeah.
Listen, if it don't work, we'll change it. We'll go back to the way it was. But let's try it. Let's see what happens. Like the turkey. You know, they changed it from the season from the 15th to the 21st. Give it one more week. Let the gobblers breed the hens. Yep. Let's try it.
And he's trying to do that.
It ain't gonna hurt anything.
He's trying to do that. So there's more gobblers to kill down the road.
That's right. I mean, he's trying to help us, yeah.
He's not doing it to make them a museum piece. He's trying to have more turkeys out there for us to shoot.
That's right.
I mean, he's got the same motivation we do.
He'd rather try that and get more gobblers than try to cut it down from five a year to three or two or one a year.
Yep.
So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to help the population so that we will keep our liberal limits of five, because there's not many states around that have a limit of five turkeys, I can tell you.
And I think if people don't travel from here, they don't realize that.
That's right.
You get in places, and if you go out of state to hunt, you say, well, you know, back home, I said, you know, I didn't have a good year last year. I killed two or I killed three. And they look at you. They said, you dang outlaw. I'm like, no, five's the limit. And they go, really? Yeah. So if you get outside the South, I mean, I'm thinking about Pennsylvania, where I get lucky to go hunt. You get a tag.
Yeah.
A tag. And you can use it for fall or spring.
Yeah.
That's
why you deer hunting.
I've got one tag sitting in my desk. If I get a chance in May to go back up to Pennsylvania, I'll use it. But, yeah, you get a tag.
Yeah. And then you go to Kansas, you get your two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can do that in the first hour.
You can do that with the same shot. So yeah. I want to talk about this, too. I want to get in. And I know this is kind of, you know, you're like, wait, why are y'all talking about this when everybody's already gone turkey hunting? Well, one of the reasons we do this is y'all should see the numbers of downloads this show gets in podcast form. A lot of people take this show with them. So there's a lot of people listening. Of course, it runs throughout the weekend as well. We air this show tonight at 11 o'clock. It'll run tomorrow morning. And it'll run Sunday evening as well. So there'll be somebody here. We got in a discussion on during the news break there with Chuck about TSS, turkey loads. It's something we've talked about on the show over the years. Getting into it, I'd say this would be going into my third season shooting
this
TSS.
This is like my third or fourth season.
Yeah, think you might be a year ahead of me, but I'm. Yeah. And we had a guy that used to tell us about this stuff when he was hand loading it, but Lord knows, I don't have time for one more thing, and hand loading is not
something.
That was
the first time I'd ever heard of it. What was his name?
Kevin
Drury.
Kevin Drury, Fathers in the Field.
Fathers in the Field.
Great
guy out of Mississippi. And he was telling us about him. He was loading 20 gauge and shooting them at 70 and 80 yards. And we're saying, you're crazy. You know, 20 gauge and shooting them at 70, 80 yards. That was the first time I heard of it. I said, you're just nuts. I mean, why would you do
that? And back then, it was all hand loaders doing it.
Yeah,
and
nobody.
When we say TSS, tungsten super shot is what TSS is an acronym for. There are probably a lot of people who know it now, because over the last 10 years since we had those conversations, it's now in stores. And that's really when I came into shooting TSS, when I could go buy it in the store.
Yeah, me
too. That was my change.
Reload.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have – so started shooting it. Now, it's funny how the split comes with TSS, because you can go long or light, and I hear different conversations. In other words, some people – and I know there's a medium, but some people get really into TSS because – you can if you shoot a hot, and I don't recommend it, but you know, you can go online and look for people's opinion. You can shoot a hot 12 gauge TSS in nines, and I'm not going to say a distance, because as soon as I do, I don't want to encourage somebody, because that's not my style of turkey hunting.
Right.
But you can kill them at a long distance.
Yeah,
with that, what TSS meant to me was, number one, and I think the first gun I bought just for shooting TSS was that 410 for my daughter.
Yeah.
Because now my daughter could shoot a 410 and have a gun that would kill a turkey graveyard dead at 35 or 40 yards. And she could hold it up. She's petite. My daughter's petite. She can hold the gun up, shoulder it. Everything fits. after shooting a little Stevens 301, mm-hmm. shooting that thing, great gun, and could kill him. And then that's a light gun. Then I moved, instead of having a 12 gauge and saying, hey, I can kill him farther, I went lighter. And now instead of carrying that big 1187 that I always carried, right, that right. by the end of a tough turkey hunting morning when you've walked, you know, 5.5 miles and that sling's digging into your shoulder yep. like somebody with a claw, I got rid of that. And I'm shooting a youth pump, 870 Remington youth. Mm-hmm. I think it weighs 5 pounds. Maybe less than 5 pounds, maybe 5 pounds with the ammo in it.
Yeah.
And I sling that little joker over my shoulder. And I was telling you during the news break that I have this moment a lot of times in the woods where I go, oh gosh, I left my gun. You know, you're moving somewhere. And then you realize, then you reach back and you go, no, it's slung across my back.
Yeah,
it's
you that don't even light. Realize on your back.
It's
yeah.
that light. And so for me, TSS, and shooting, I'm shooting TSS number nines and getting with the 20 gauge. I mean, I feel confident I could kill one a lot further. But it's a 50-yard gun if I need it to be. I mean, I
50,
killed
60 yards.
I killed
is
one
no
at 39 last year with it. Graveyard dead didn't even faze him. Yeah. You know, it's an incredible. It I mean, just kills it. Like, don't have to go stomp on the head. I mean, just dead.
That's right. Well, at 50, 60 yards with 20 gauge TSS number nines, they're graveyard dead if you're getting yeah. a good pattern.
Yep.
No problem. Now, what we're doing and most people are doing now, they're putting a red dot sight on there because a lot of times the pattern is so tight, if you shoot one at 20 yards, you're subject to miss it,
mm-hmm.
The turkey. So I'm putting sights on mine now, and at 40, 50, 60 yards, they graveyard dead. Now, here's what people got to understand, Sean, is a number nine pellet. People know how small a number nine pellet is.
Dove loads, quail loads.
Yeah.
Small
I mean,
dove loads.
Yeah, most people use 7.5 or 8 for doves.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a number nine. It is so small, but it is the same weight as a number 4 or number 5
four,
lead.
Yeah,
four or five. I can't remember. But think about how big a number 4 lead weight is. And then you put a little bitty number 9 TSS shot beside it, and it weighs the same.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, not to take it to physics class, but let's do it for a second. So what's yeah. happening is what helps the density of that number 9 weighing like the number 4, number 5 shot carries the kinetic energy to the turkey. In other words, the killing power is
yes.
there. Now
that weight.
The weight and the killing power is there. It will at that distance still punch through the turkey. You could get a lead number 9 to get out to a turkey, but yeah. it would have not had enough kinetic energy to be fatal.
Right.
Now you have the weight in that number 9 shot. You have that weight of a 4 or 5 for the kinetic energy, but you have a shot shell packed with number 9s, which is a bunch of pellets.
Yeah. Think about this. I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are, but I think it'd be close. Probably a 410 number 9 has the same or more shot in it than a number 5 12 gauge.
Yeah, probably right.
I mean, it'd be close in there. I don't know what the exact numbers are. I hadn't checked it out to see, but I think it'd be pretty close in there. So now, instead of having to shoot a 12 gauge that beats you into the ground when you shoot it, and a 3.5 inch especially, you can shoot a 410 and have just about the same effect.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we'll get – part of this answer is on the – it says TSS number 9s. Now, yeah. it may vary a little bit by manufacturer, but here's the weight. It says TSS number 9s, 362 ounces shot count per shell, 905 pellets.
In what gauge?
That's a number 9s TSS. It might be a – is that their – I think that's the 12, okay? So number 9 TSS, number of pellets, let's say in a 410. All right, let's see what the 410 is. 410 shell has a payload capacity, number 9 shot, 295 pellets in a 410, 3-inch hole. Okay. 3-inch 410, 295 pellets.
295, and what's a 12 gauge?
We'll find that out after the break.
Okay.
Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And before we dive right back into talking shots, I want to talk about congratulations as well. The wards are ruling on the board here for the kids, first of all. Your grandson, great hunt?
Yeah, had a great hunt. You know, we wasn't even going to go, Sean. He had a soccer game Saturday, so at 12 o'clock, and then we had a wedding we had to go to that night. And then there was something going on at church that he really wanted to be at church Sunday. So anyway, we didn't go. We wasn't going to go. And then they canceled the ball game. Of course, it was too late to go then. And then we went to the wedding. And on the way to the wedding, they canceled church. So we said, well, what else can we do? So we went turkey hunting.
Which is exactly what his grandfather wanted to hear.
Yes, it was. So anyway, we got up here like 12 o'clock. I went to bed like at 1:30. Got up at 4:30. Anyway, got in the woods, got where we wanted to be, and owled, and I heard a couple gobble off of me, and then I heard one gobble about 100 yards in the woods right where we were at.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I was saying, well, we're too close.
Right.
I mean, we get to, the woods are a little open there, and I said, we get to walking in there, we're messed up. We're going to
get busted, yeah.
So anyway, we stay on the cart, and we go on around and kind of get on the back side of him, and park the cart and then get all our gear off and head in the woods. And, you know, I set my blind up and get the chairs all situated. And Dylan looks at me and says, where's the gun? And that turkey's gobbling over in the tree. And I said, you don't have the gun? No, I thought you had the gun. Anyway, so he has to go about 150 yards back to the cart and get the gun. So he gets back in there and we get set up, and you know, he's gobbling in the tree, and I hear a couple more on my place off to the north gobbling up there, and they're gobbling good. The one we're hunting not gobbling all that good. And then when he flies down, he shuts up. We don't hear anything. And then we hear him cluck a couple times, and then we hear one big drum.
That's all you needed to hear.
Yeah, so I knew he wasn't far off. And a few minutes later, it's all taking about an hour now for this to happen.
Right.
And about that time, Dylan says, I see a gobbler. And I, and, you know, I said, where? And then he points. We're behind the blind, so he points, and it's coming up on his side. But anyway, he comes on around and gets out in an open spot, and he's like maybe 40 yards out there, and he shot him with that TSS number 920 gauge and just folded him up. Now, that was an awesome hunt. First morning of the year, within an hour of hunt. Oh, you're talking about a little 13-year-old boy that was excited now.
And maybe his grandpa
was too.
Yeah, if I say.
I want to tell you, my heart was thumping, and I think I could hear his thumping. And I know when he pulled his gun up to shoot, that thing was going around and around in a circle. I'm thinking, oh, he's going to miss this turkey. But we got the red dots on the gun. So, you know, he did finally get settled down and put the red dot on him, and, I mean, folded him up. So we had an awesome hunt. I mean, just an awesome hunt. And then my nephew, Philip Ward, took his daughter, Savannah.
Don't say his name three times in a row because he'll show up. But
yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he went and took his daughter, Savannah, and they had a great hunt.
Yep.
Sunday. So, you know, the wards did okay this time.
And she's 10?
I think so.
She's 10. Killed her first turkey there. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great deal.
I know Jake Marcus's two sons killed turkeys this weekend. There's a bunch of people that their kids, David Inge's son killed one. I mean, there's just a bunch of them that killed turkeys this weekend. It was awesome to see all those on Facebook.
Yeah, we had at our place, we split up, and my buddy Wes and his son Hunter.
Yeah, Wes' son killed one.
They went one direction, and I went the other. They had his son had killed a turkey before, but when we got back, his son got to see what addicts us all to turkey hunting. They were watching, at one point they were watching, if I get my story straight here, he was watching the dominant bird at about 55 yards strutting.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. This is this boy sitting here watching this. The dominant bird strutting about 55 yards. The boy didn't feel like he wanted to shoot. And they had a hen at about 7 yards, just standing right there. And so there's the boss bird. There's the hen right by him. And then,
are they behind the blind?
They weren't in the blind. They were tucked up in a tree.
Okay.
And here come two of the volunteers, like we like those two-year-olds. They came running in to get in on part of this action.
Yeah. Where
they're going, whether and Wes said he ended up having. He said they were about to fight the two, the young birds along with the boss, the 2 year olds, about to fight, but he had to really just go ahead and cut hard and to get them to separate enough. So the one of the younger birds was closer, and his son shot that nice bird, 9-inch beard,
good bird.
Shoots that. So it's with all the goblin they had heard that morning. I mean, tons of goblin, at four different birds goblin, and at one point they had three in front of him, and he shot one with a hen sitting 7 yards off their boot. Yeah, and he said before the birds got in there, there's so much goblin, he said, that we basically wore out the back side of their pants going around the tree, going, keep moving.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No, he's coming. This one's coming. No, this one's coming.
Yeah.
This one's coming. Had a great hunt. He killed that one. Daughter and I, we went the other side of the property, and we could hear those birds gobbling, but we didn't get on them. But she's her social schedule as a 14-year-old girl didn't lead her to hunt on Sunday morning, but she's going to hopefully be with me through the weekend. We'll have good stories there.
Well, that'd be good. So it sounds like you got a lot of turkeys.
Well, we got enough.
Got enough
right now, and watched some of them, put them to bed this week. So hopefully we'll be telling you a story.
You saw some breed?
Yep. Got to watch that. I had to cover my eyes. What was going on out there in that pasture on, I think that was Tuesday afternoon. At one point, Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, I was watching three jakes that were all in full strut, and they break down out of strut for a second and chase a hen. Then the hen, there's one hen, there are about 11 hens out there. One of them will run circles around the three jakes, like she's on a track.
Yeah.
And instead of yep, 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 another hen said yep, 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 yep. And then I had two strutters come in with some other hens down, and they're sitting there gobbling. These jakes are strutting. They're strutting. There's hens running back and forth. I mean, it was—
Isn't that a blast?
It was like the turkey version of the Playboy Mansion at that thing. It was going on. Blushing to even tell about it. But, it's a good thing. And I'm in a lucky situation, blessed to have private land to hunt. So them breeding before I get a chance to hunt them is a good—it makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure, because I was real worried last year. I told you, with the number of turkeys we have, I just did not see poults.
Yeah.
And if I need to let turkey walk now to make sure we got turkeys in the future, that's okay by me, you know? And so I want to make sure they get as much he and she and done as they can, because this idea that a goblin breeds a hen one time and it takes, it may not. And maybe one. We have so many issues with turkey populations, and it's site specific. Some places I am lucky to have two places private to hunt. I got a real issue in Washington County, and don't have in Mobile County. It's not as bad, but you got to get. There's hens not getting bred. Now there's other issues out there too, nest predators and all these things that are issues. But the studies, the scientists have looked at this, and there really is situations where hens don't lay a nest because they never got bred. In some places. So that's why I was happy to see that going on. All right. So congratulations to all the Utes out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have more war stories by next week. I want to, before we run to the break here, talk about this. So here's a quick thing on comparing TSS pellet count per ounce.
Okay? Yes.
Tungsten super shot. So let's do a comparison here with the pellet count per ounce. So this could be whatever gauge you're shooting. It's just an ounce. So you can compare it that way. Per ounce, Number four lead, 136, I guess, pellets per ounce.
Per ounce. So usually you got, 2.5 ounce in a 3-inch maybe? And a quarter ounce in a...
Yeah, so you do your... And then...
So you double that, so you're looking at, let's just say it's 150, so you're looking at about 300 pellets.
Yeah,
give or take.
So that's for number you would do that. But let's just say per ounce is 136.
Yeah,
And it's 362 for TSS.
362 per ounce. So you're looking.
That's nines.
That's nines. Yeah, and that's what most people are shooting.
That's
now.
What I'm
turkeys.
Saying. So
yeah,
you go.
300. How many?
362.
So you're looking at almost two and a half times
the number of pellets.
Number of pellets
per ounce.
Per ounce. Yes.
And those pellets. That's the thing. Remember, the reason I picked number fours is we started off the conversation with Mike saying, and the studies show that the weight and therefore the kinetic energy of the pellet, the number nine, is equivalent with the number four.
Yes.
lead. Yeah. So a number 9 TSS has the weight and therefore the carrying of the energy, kinetic mm-hmm. energy of a number 4. Lead number 4 is 136 pellets per ounce, and TSS number 9 is 362. So you basically get the performance, the killing performance of those 136 and number 4s, but you get it in number 9s at 362 of them.
That's three times more.
That's right.
Three times more. Think about that. Three times more shot.
That carries the same strength as a number 4.
Carries the same energy as a number 4.
There you go. And so that is the beauty of the TSS.
That's why you can shoot a 410.
Correct.
And have equivalent to the same amount of shot that you're going to have in a 20-gauge number 4.
There it is.
How about that?
So what you do is, if you wanted to picture it, I guess if you wanted to picture it this way, TSS gives you the ability to duplicate with number 9s, duplicate the pattern of a number 9, all those pellets in a target. Picture mm-hmm. your turkey target. All those pellets in there, but each one of them is a number 4 strength.
That's right.
You get pattern coverage. At the same time, you get killing power. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing. And like I said, some people you don't have to go too far online and look, and they've tricked them out for distance. And you can take if somebody still wants to carry a 12, you can shoot a 12 and shoot TSS and do amazing things at distance. But also for many of us, getting our kids good guns to shoot, and for those of us that don't want to carry around 9.5 pounds of Remington 1187 all day, mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm shooting a 20-gauge. And it's killing a graveyard dead, and it carries like a dream.
Yeah. So think about a 12-gauge, 3.5-inch.
See,
number,
Mike always
number
takes
nine.
It. You always take it here.
But I'm just thinking, think about how many shots mm-hmm. are in a 3.5-inch 12-gauge.
Okay, so how many ounces a shot? Let's
see. How many ounces a shot is in a 3.5-inch 12-gauge?
Okay.
So we're looking it up real quick.
Yeah, see, this is where you have to cover for me as I type.
Yeah, I'm just coming up with
3.5 inch. You want to do 3.5 inch?
3.5 inch.
Okay,
number,
3.5.
Number 4, 12-gauge.
Yeah, 12-gauge, number 4, and ounces of shot.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you want.
That's
so
right.
Let's see what the Google machine tells us. And on the fly here. This is a tough thing to do. I usually have to prep
this.
Do. Before.
Yeah, we normally have all this set up. And
but you ask me questions on the fly. Okay,
yeah. You've got a computer in front of you, so we can sometimes.
All right,
look
so 12 gauge, 3.5.
It's got how many ounces?
There's probably
shot.
Somebody yelling at us right now. Okay, here for this one, Remington Nitro Turkey. Okay,
yeah.
So lead 12 gauge, 3.5 inch, 2 ounces. That's a 2 ounce. I mean, I know you get more, but that's 2 ounces.
2 ounces, okay. So that's about 700 pellets.
Okay.
That's a 3.5 inch?
Yep.
Okay. So that's
what it says. Yeah, 3.5 inch.
About 700 pellets. Uh-huh. In a number 4, you're looking at about 280, give or take.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 700 number 9 TSS mm-hmm. in a 3.5 inch versus 280, give or take a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Now, with the same kinetic energy.
And same killing power.
Same killing power.
Yep.
So which one you want to shoot? Now, here's the only kicker, Sean. Here's the kicker.
Okay.
Now, those shells are between
let's talk about that
$7 and $10 a piece.
Right. Well, it depends. I've shopped around and got them a little better. I'm down to some of them have about $3. $3 in it per shell.
I got to go shopping with you.
Yeah, you do, and you got to go. And probably part of it is I was buying and starting to buy and hoard them years ago before they were as popular.
Yeah.
Right. And I'd buy a box.
Hopefully, it'd get more popular, to get cheaper. That's what I'm hoping.
One would think.
Yeah.
And yes, does it. When you're sitting down, you're targeting, you're patterning a shotgun, does it make it a little painful? Yeah, not on your shoulder, but on your backside and your wallet.
Yeah, I spent $150 last year sighting in at 20-gauge.
But beyond that, that's what I argue. Some people have said, you know, my gosh, how much you spend. I said I spent about $3 per load on this 20 and this 410. I said, and somebody said, that's a lot of money. I said, you shoot them one time.
Yeah.
If you shoot, you know, my normal turkey season, I'm going to shoot three times and kill three birds.
Right.
You know, so it's all right.
You're counting those misses.
If you count misses, I missed last year. I did miss last year.
See there? So there
what am I doing? I did miss last year.
So basically, you're going to shoot five shells, you know, typically.
Less than a tank of gas to get to the camp, you know,
yes.
Just to get there. So, all right, coming right back. We'll wrap it up. Y'all stay close. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday, and we are stepping out. We'll talk about more turkeys next week on the fishing front, too. Captain Bobby Abrascato says at the mouth of the tidal rivers,
yeah,
looking at dog, you're looking at West Fowl, looking at Fowl, those places the trout have been doing right there. So already in that spring pattern.
Coming.
Yep, so get after it. Get out there if you're heading to the woods or water. Once again, WMA is open, the water's open. Beach is a different story. The water's open. The WMAs are open. The SOAs are open. Go hunt. Go fish. Enjoy the outdoors.
Tuna wahoos knocking it in the head in the guff right now. They're killing them.
Man. See? Talking about a way to quarantine. Stay away from the crowds and get out there with the critters and the fish and enjoy yourself. All right. Prep Sports Report on the way next.